Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Allison Apsey. Allison has been an educator for more than 20 years and a school leader for 16 of those years. The challenges and delights of being a principal fill her days with joy. She enjoys nothing more than helping others be the very best they can be. Allison is proud of her school district and the Zeeland, Michigan community. She loves being the principal of Quincy Elementary. Recognizing the significant impact trauma has on many of our students, staff, and families, Allison is a certified trauma practitioner in education. She's honored to serve on the board of directors for MIPSA, Michigan Elementary and Middle School Principals Association. Additionally, she's on the steering committee for MACUL, Michigan Association for Computer Users and Learning, SIG Admin. Allison is also the author of a blog and four books called Serendipity in Education, and we'll talk about those on the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, Allison.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to spend a little time with you.
Well, tell me a few stories you said about times when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Right, yeah. I feel like incredibly blessed that I spent time in the trenches early in life. I've met seasoned educators or people, you know, well into their 60s, 70s, going through what I perceive is not that difficult of things, saying, oh my goodness, this is the most difficult thing I've ever gone through in my life. And I was, you know, younger than I am now, thinking, boy, I've been through way harder stuff. And I'm grateful for it because it just teaches you a resiliency and an empathy that you don't develop without being in the trenches. So I'll just share, when I was early in my marriage, we went through some very difficult times, and I've been through a lot of difficult times, and I don't disclose details because they're not all my story to tell. But I can tell you that I went through some things that I never imagined I would have to face. And I, at that time, I realized that I get to choose the person I want to be every day when I wake up in the morning, regardless of my circumstances. So I can wake up, face the day in the way that I want to, interact with people in the way that I want to, in the way that I believe is important, in the way that I value, just demonstrating my values, regardless of everything going on around me. And I think that time in the trenches was so valuable, young in my marriage, young in my career, just entering adulthood and feeling that sense of empowerment and control, even in the most desperate of circumstances, was a serendipitous gift of a really, really difficult time that served me well throughout my life.
Yeah, it's down to, you have control over how you're going to react to things, right?
Yeah. And I think too, like even beyond reacting, I think we can have a victim mentality where things in life just happen to me and I'm reacting, or we can empower ourselves to take control of situations. And the person that we actually have control over is ourselves. We don't really have control over anything else. And, you know, Gandhi said, you know, change yourself and the world changes. And it's so true. And I think right now, it's a really important lesson because it feels like there's so many things out of our control with COVID, the pandemic still raging on, and with the divisiveness in our country between neighbors who used to get along. Now they see things from polar opposite viewpoints and are having a difficult time coming together. Like recognizing that we do have a lot of control over the things that really matter. And that's how we interact with others you know, how we behave. We can control that always.
Yeah, I like that philosophy. And that's kind of how you start your day, correct? That you're just, yes. You know, that's how you have, you deal with the things that you have control over, and you choose basically how you're going to react and how the day's going to be, empowering the things that you can control within yourself, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Now there's difficult things that really happen, and there's negative emotions that we're going to experience, and things that just absolutely suck that we're going to encounter. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to embrace those emotions and accept them, mm-hmm. and sit in them for a little bit, but we don't have to live there. Where we can live is the place of our own deciding.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of your speaking engagements. In the bio, I highlighted that you have the certified trauma practitioner in education. And so some of your speaking engagements, you have students affected by trauma, bleeding from the inside out. Talk to me a little bit about some of these. Are they keynotes? Are they professional development sessions that you give? And kind of what is your schedule in the winter look like? Do you have some conferences you're set to speak at?
Yeah. Yep. So all of the above. that it just depends on the engagement and the venue. I can sometimes. So I'll just talk about one of my most popular keynotes, I guess, is helping others discover the best in themselves, which is taking a trauma-informed lens but stretching it across the school system. So we're going to look at how we interact with students in a trauma-informed way, but then also how can we interact with colleagues and families, and how can we take good care of ourselves, all with this trauma-informed lens, because trauma-informed practices we know are not just good for people who have faced trauma. They're really good for everyone. It's full of empathy and grace and understanding that everyone has their own story, which are that benefits everybody. So I have that as a keynote, and then sometimes I get, you know, maybe a half day engagement, and then I can include, you know, much more content and more interaction. And sometimes I'm blessed to be able to spend a day or multiple days in districts or at conferences. And so any of the speaking engagements I do really can be keynotes, but then also I just love the workshop component. That's my favorite, when I get to spend the entire day with a district or a group of educators so that we can really engage with the content and benefit from interactions with each other while we're just trying to think of how to support students, staff, colleagues, and take care of ourselves in different ways.
And that's so timely right now to have those type of topics to interact with districts and staff about.
Yes. Yes.
So if people are connected with you on social media, they've heard of the Serendipity series and the Serendipity mindset. Tell me a little bit about how this mindset got started.
I love telling the story because it starts back in 2000 with the movie starring John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale called Serendipity. And it's just a really cute romantic comedy. And I fell in love with the idea of serendipity, these happy accidents. It was just like moving to me and so joyful, and just seemed like a great way to approach life, just looking for happy accidents. And I was teaching seventh and eighth grade at the time. Mm-hmm. And I got the opportunity to teach a character education class, which I was so excited about and so needed at that middle school level. And it was like a class that met daily, just incredible opportunity. But I knew that if I called it character education, they would be like, wah, 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 like, really, Mrs. Apsey, like, we got this all figured out. We don't need you. So instead, I called the class Serendipity. And so it was, you know, right after I saw the movie, and we journaled back and forth, and we really dove into those concepts I was just talking about, which is, you know, what components in our life do we have control over, and how can we capitalize on that, those things that we do have control over, to live effective lives where we take good care of ourselves and support one another. And it was based in William Glasser's choice theory and reality therapy. So I taught that class called Serendipity, and just hung on to the love of the idea of serendipity. And I do stretch it into a mindset. And I have a TEDx talk that's called Serendipity is Everywhere. And it's funny because the comments on the TEDx talk is like, this is a really good talk. It's underrated, but she doesn't really know what serendipity means. And I'm like, people, I'm an artist. I get to make up definitions. Like serendipity, yes, we can read it in the dictionary, but I just stretch it to this idea of it's looking for the beautiful gifts and happy accidents in everything we experience. And that's our deepest sorrows to joys beyond our imagination. And then all the everyday things in between. Everything we go through offers us a beautiful gift or a lesson if we look for it. And there are times when, you know, I'm taking my walk after work and I have this pit in my stomach and, you know, something didn't go the way I wanted it to that day. And I'm full of like big emotions and I can't see the happy accident in that situation, the serendipity yet, but I know that it's there, even if I can't get to it yet. And I'll peel that onion and I'll get to that beautiful lesson eventually, even if it's not in the moment. And just knowing that I'm going to become a better person because of everything I go through just gives that little flame of hope that can just keep us going in the right direction. So I truly believe that that living with that flame of hope, that serendipity mindset is beneficial for everyone. And so then that turned into, I started blogging in 2015. And I remember I said to my secretary, like, would it be dumb if I called my blog Serendipity in Education? And she's like, no, sounds cool. So I called the blog Serendipity in Education. And then that 3 years later became like translated into my first book, which was The Path to Serendipity. And then The Princess of Serendip is the, it's my picture book, and it's this 16th century Persian tale, which is the origin of the word serendipity. So I rewrote that tale and Molly Blaisdell illustrated it so beautifully. Then my third book is called Through the Lens of Serendipity. And that's taking that, that serendipity mindset and just like looking at the world through that lens and how can we help others discover the best in themselves, even if life has shown them its worst. Then my fourth book is called The Serendipity Journal. And it's the book I wanted when I was teaching those middle grade students. It's a realistic fiction story that takes those William Glasser choice theory concepts about how to build strong, healthy relationships and how to be in control of yourself and make sure that you're taken care of and your needs are met in this compelling, realistic fiction story. So that was a fiction chapter book. And that was a crazy experience to learn as I went. And it was, I love that book and it's, there's so many connections to me personally. So it's a little bit biographical, a little bit autobiographical. And I write about the connections and a bonus section in the back of the book. So that's kind of the serendipity package, if you will.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
You're also said you're working on your fifth book, and the working title is Leading the Whole Teacher. And tell me a little bit about that and who it's for.
Yeah, so this is definitely a passion project. And the idea is we talk a lot about the whole child and making sure that the school environment is supportive of the whole child, which I believe with all my heart, of course, as a trauma-informed educator and just really working to create a joyful environment for students. That's so important to consider the whole child. I think as an educational leader, it's really important for me to consider the whole teacher, for all of us educational leaders to think about how we are creating an environment where teachers are able to meet their needs within the functions of the school day. So the six different components of the book, which the working title is Leading the Whole Teacher. And I'll talk just a little bit about the title before I tell you the six components. This book, as I'm writing it, and it's about 75% written right now, and having others give me their input on it, I'm realizing more and more that it's not just for educational leaders, that it is for all educators, because it's a level of self-awareness, but then also a level of how to be a supportive colleague, which I know that teachers really value and want to be. So that working title, I'm just contemplating, does it give an accurate depiction of the book and who the audience is? But so right now it's called Leading the Whole Teacher. And the six different components that are highlighted in the book are emotional safety, a spot at the decision-making table, positive relationships, a healthy workload, being valued, and an opportunity to be a continuous learner. That if we create school environments that have all these six components for every single one of our teachers, we're going to create an environment where teachers can absolutely thrive. And hopefully we have college students running to get into our school buildings rather than choosing different majors right now, which is why part of the reason why we're facing a crisis in education with a shortage of teachers and staff. And then hopefully also with creating a really need-satisfying environment for teachers that takes care of all those components, keeps them in the profession, because we have teachers, especially with the pandemic, educators at all levels really leaving at a record rate. And we need to stop that. We need to make sure that our really skilled, talented staff is staying in our schools. And so I think we have a responsibility to really serve the whole teacher.
Yeah, that's definitely a timely book. And so you said you're 75% finished. When do you think that'll be out?
Right. So my goal is to have my draft done by Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then the publishing process takes at least 6 months. So just mm-hmm. really looking at, would a summer release be the best release time? Would we be ready for that? So, and by summer, I mean summer of 2022. So we'll see when, we have to consider, it's going to be published through Dave Burgess Consulting. So always look at like, what other books do they have coming out, and mm-hmm. the timing of everything. So they're awesome about just really supporting the book release to be as successful as it can be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think definitely the pandemic has made that a bigger problem. And, you know, there's a lack of, you know, teachers and jobs being filled this year, but you know, this is not a new problem, right? It's the lack of people actually going into education, like you said. And would you imagine this could also be something that professors at universities and teacher ed programs would benefit from? Just kind of that prep, right, for going into the classroom.
Absolutely. I've absolutely thought about that. Yeah, so for teachers entering the profession, you know, because there's so many pieces of this that they also can champion for themselves, for mm-hmm. sure. And then I think ed leadership programs, and as we move into ed leadership, really thinking about just being a good teacher doesn't necessarily translate into a good leader of adults. Like that's mm-hmm. a whole different skill set. So I think that it's going to be, this book could be helpful in developing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that made me think of another question. So in the bio, I mentioned that you've been in administration for 16 years. So you've seen a lot of changes in education. So have you experienced just kind of that ebb and flow of maybe years where there were a lot more candidates applying to a certain position than other years?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So this will age me a little bit more, but this is actually my 19th year as mm-hmm. a principal. So maybe my bio is a little bit old. yes, absolutely. I've been a principal at different levels and in different areas of Michigan, different school communities. So that definitely has an impact. Mm-hmm. But I have seen that pool dwindle mm-hmm. in our area in West Michigan, and especially some of the positions like special education is one area, or support staff is another area. It's just, we have less candidates coming out of teacher ed programs, and that's just unfortunate reality. So then the pool has dwindled. It's not a figment of our imagination. And the thing is that it impacted high needs, low socioeconomic districts before it impacted more, destination districts. And so, but now we're all, I think, experiencing that impact.
And sometimes it's not just raising the salary by 3 to 5%. It's just kind of the needs of, being a classroom teacher and knowing that they're not being supported, right? And that's scaring a lot of these people away from applying. And like you said, people start majoring in education or might complete a teacher ed program and then just apply to something else, right?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's not the same as when you started teaching back then. So, and I also thought it was interesting being a busy principal and writing a blog and writing books. How do you fit all this into your busy life?
I have no idea. I'm also a mom.
Yeah,
and a wife, right? It really is something I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. And other people are passionate about different things. So some are passionate about home improvement or gardening. I love to write and to connect with educators across the country, across the globe, really, with social media, we're able to connect. So that's my passion. So you find time for the things that you prioritize. So it might be getting up early on a day off or a weekend day so that I can get a few hours of writing in before family time. Fortunately, I don't have any desire for home improvement or gardening or anything like that. So that saves me a lot of time.
No, I can see that totally. Like for me in the podcast, is something that you fit in because you're passionate about it, right? And you make the time for those things that you really want to do. Well, out of everything we talked about on the podcast, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
Oh boy. I think it's that everything we go through in our lives can help us become better versions of ourselves. And, one of the things that I didn't talk about, but, I lost my mom almost 10 years ago and she was my best friend. And that journey was really, really difficult. And what I thought during that time is, mom, what you're going through, I owe it to you to become a better person because of what you're going through in this cancer journey in the 2 years that she, fought for her life. And I feel that way about everything we go through. Like, I deserve to become a better person for having gone through the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, we're not there yet, but we're going to get there. Or whatever, all these other things that we go through, they help me become a more empathetic version of myself and help me understand what other people are going through. That's at the bare minimum. And so many other lessons come out of it. So that's it. That would be the one thing, is that everything we go through in our lives can help us become a better version of ourselves if that's how we approach it.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. And it makes me think that having that serendipity mindset that you've had has probably helped you a lot when everything was shut down and you have those difficulties of trying to run a school, in remote learning and all that, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. It did. And just looking for the blessings in, that time at home or the different things that we learned during remote learning. So all of those things, yeah, we can look for the good for sure.
Where can people connect with you and find you online?
So if you know how to spell my name, you know how to find me anywhere. I'm at Allison Apsey on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. AllisonApsey.com is my website. AllisonApsey@gmail.com is my email. So I would love to connect with your listeners.
Well, thanks so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today.
It was my honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.